How was your week? What were the news stories and the conversations? Acumen Media breaks it down for us.
Tanya Currie, very good morning. How are you?
I really love that jingle. It's so formal.
I know. Because
Acumen Media.
Just like you are, Tanya.
Yeah, it's almost like I'm a proper analyst.
Tanya Currie has turned analysis on its head. Everything you that should be your byline.
Winging it since 1972. I want to put that on my LinkedIn page, but I don't think it'll go down well.
I love it because you know what? It's courageous and it's personality. And you know what? It's brilliant.
Well, I think I'm going to do it.
I'm
in Sedona Bay.
Oh,
yay!
Brilliant. Yeah, I saw that. You know what? I tell you, I watched that video you posted on Facebook of you arriving there in your car driving. And I thought, this is Tanya actually just driving to her happy place.
It's just my happy place. Yeah. It's so happy. The sun has just come up over the dunes. It's so quiet. All the birds, well, it's not so quiet. There's birds and tractors taking boats and my dogs are on my bed with me. So I'm feeling happy. I'm really feeling happy.
You know what? You needed to get out of Joburg. I think you've got a very limited expiry time when it comes to Johannesburg.
But yeah, you know what, Howard? Normally it's 8 weeks and this time I spent 7 months. Like my body's like, what are you doing?
No wonder. That's ridiculous. That's irresponsible, Tanya. That's irresponsible.
It is irresponsible, but I've taken it on the chin and I've done the right thing and I'm here and I'm working and I'm happy. Very
good.
Happy.
Unlike other people who didn't take it on the chin on Twitter and social media this week and who didn't take responsibility. Oh my word, where does one start?
I know, where does one start? So funny. Oh, like, I can't wait to get to the Pumzilla story, but let's first start with Zinzi Mandela.
Yeah,
oh
gosh.
Oh my word.
Yeah.
What a big ruckus on Twitter. In fact, Zinzi Mandela is bigger than Sonar. How's that?
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. And by 6%, 36% to her and 30% to Sonar. So a huge conversation about Zinzi Mandela. Lots of people saying hands off Zinzi. Other people very angry with what she had to say. No less than our favorite racist, Steve Hoffman.
Well, he took it to a whole different level. Yeah.
What do you think of that story? Because I must be honest, I missed it. So I had to go back and sort of read through it.
Right.
I wasn't sure what all the big fuss was about.
Right. So when I started seeing it, and I was quite horrified at what she was saying, but I realized that she was completely out of her mind. She was either drunk, or she was, or some incident had happened that had triggered her to such an emotional extent that she was out of her normal control. And I happened to have met her a few years ago in Copenhagen, it was one meeting and it was very pleasant and it was more social, but I didn't, you know, you didn't get this from her. So I was quite surprised at it. That said, I think it was completely out of line. I think that what made it worse was the fact that she then disappeared for 6 days on a trip. What? Because in Europe, people don't have connectivity. And she was, and that's actually the part that offended me most was Durko saying, well, we can't comment on it because we haven't been able to get hold of her. She's traveling. You know, don't talk to South Africans like we're idiots. Rather just be real. And I wanted that from her, actually, to say,
has she got any sort of history of doing, I've never come across Zinzi Mandela in a negative light before.
So I hadn't either. And then when I asked a couple of people who are in Parliament off the record, they said to me, no, she can be like this. It isn't a total shock to them, but normally it doesn't play out like this in public. You know, look, we also have to appreciate the history that she comes from and I think we, you know, so when I wrote an article, I was also very careful because I don't think it's fair to lambaste her for destroying her father's legacy on, you know, I think that was wrong of people. The name and all of that. Yes, maybe that is part of her currency and therefore she needs to be careful about it. But I think we need to look at what she said and what happened for what it was worth. What I actually got out of it in a strange sort of a way was that oblique reference to the gardener and Chris Barnard. And we went into that story quite closely here and it was the most unbelievable story. And it was the story of a guy, of a black gardener who came from the Eastern Cape, was working at UCT as a gardener. He was looking after the tennis lawns there, got in, just was asked to assist in the lab to hold a giraffe down while they were doing some tests on blood pressure and what have you. And yes. they saw how incredibly talented this guy was. And he actually did contribute tremendously towards this process. And I loved that because it opened up this whole world that I had never. It was just an oblique reference to a garden, and I was so happy that I looked into it because then I gained something positive from it. So I think she was out of line diplomatically. I think she didn't serve the land debate, which needs to happen. It's an important one, but we didn't have it.
Especially that we were leading up to it. We were leading up to it. The last thing we needed was this ruckus before we actually hear what's going to happen.
100%. And then, of course, and then our favorite racist gets involved and he blows it out the water because then you can't even talk about what Zinzi Mandela was saying because he got involved. So, you know, that's my thought.
You know, I wrote a tweet on Twitter to Steve Hoffman and to all the airlines. I said, please, if you just buy him a ticket, just get him out.
Yeah.
I promise you, you'll get the biggest loyalty from South Africa.
No question.
We will only fly your airline. I promise you now.
Absolutely.
Just get rid of him. Well, I mean, they're both in the charts. I mean, Zinzi Mandela, obviously right at the very top, 36.1%. And Steve Hoffman, right at the bottom, number 9, but still beats Phumzile Mavhundam. That one, I can't wait to talk about that story.
Right.
Between the two of them, they certainly made an impact. And then Sonar, 30.3%, definitely not what I expected. I expected an 80 or 90% chart. Maybe it's because it happened last night, and maybe it hasn't had time to grow. But a very dignified Sonar for that journalist who says we can't have dignified Sonars.
Exactly.
But also what was interesting to me was the number of promises and how big those promises were.
Yeah, you know, and what's interesting
nobody will be hungry in 10 years.
And we take Cyril Ramaphosa's promises seriously because he's not somebody that we think just stands up and talks off the top of his head. So I find that.
That's right.
How did we react to Sona in terms of?
Very well, actually. Okay, very well. It had the largest positive sentiment, 18.2% positive and 18% negative. But when you look at the net sentiment chart, it's the second most positive story on the chart with 0.27%, being beaten only by Banyana. So we took it very well, very, very well.
Okay,
and but you know, the opposition coming back with a fire that I thought was quite relevant, saying that a lot of that was dreaming. And I also think, a lot of that is very ambitious, Mr. President,
Cutting violence crime by 50%. Yeah, these types of things are very big promises.
Very big promises. I mean, education, the fact that Eskom is going to be fine, the fact that there's going to be, we're going to build our Buy South African. I love that message.
Yes.
I really love that message.
Yes.
It's good that we should be buying South African,
100%.
But you need the options. And again, that means we've got to invest in our local manufacturing and production. So,
well, I was just going to say, it's all very well to tell South Africans to buy South African. That's great. We would most of us, I'm sure, would love to. A, because it's cheap.
Yes.
And B, because it's money that stays within the same system. But but that means improved standards and getting manufacturing going properly again.
Absolutely. And distribution, there's great stuff if you go into certain areas of the country, but in other areas, there's nothing but foreign stuff, So, big promises. I loved the address. It made me proud to be South African. I really hope he delivers. The Proteas are still there. I still don't know why. Are we still playing?
No. I don't think so, actually. It's a bit confusing because I think there are a couple of miracles.
We're so cross.
I think it could be. No, we're not playing. So I think there are a couple of miracles that I know could have taken place and then we could stay. but I don't know if that's even an option anymore. I'll have to ask Louis Karpus.
Louis will have to answer
except
that one.
I'm a bit scared.
They're number 3, eh?
Yeah, we haven't forgiven them. We haven't forgiven them for it.
No, we haven't. I don't think so. I think we're quite cross. I mean, when we look at the negativity on the charts, it's there. It's 22.9%. I don't know. We're very forgiving as a nation.
Normally, I think we'll forgive the Gen Z a lot quicker. Yeah. There's ABC. Yes.
ABC on the brink of being shut. Yeah. That's the rumors in the industry. In fact, at Sonar on the red carpet, the communications minister was asked by one of the SABC journalists, how's that? If they'll have a job next week, and he said, yes, you will. But that's all he said. The SABC in an awful lot of trouble. We've seen this time and time again, but I think this time now there's no Shari Motsaneng and no looting allowed. So I don't know what's going to happen here, but it certainly tops the bowl. Number four to the SABC this week. And then state capture inquiry. Oh my word.
Mm. So is Jacob... Dudumieni is not looking pretty.
Not at all. I mean, look, we all disliked her, but after state capture inquiry, she's become one of the largest stories on the charts. I mean, she's a tyrant.
Yeah.
And a master looter, an absolute master looter. Just when you thought, you know, you saw Transnet, you saw Basasa, you saw Eskom, and now, oh, wow, here comes somebody else. And it always hurts me when it's a woman.
Yeah, that's actually interesting that angle.
It really does, Howard, because like we're born with something a little bit softer than men. And when you're such a gangster. She's a gangster. I don't know what else to call her.
It's actually so funny you say that. And I was thinking, as you're saying it, I'm thinking, in this world of PC, are we allowed to say it? But you're so right.
I am right. I don't care. Take me on. I don't care.
But you're right. I do think that, women aren't generally serial killers because they just aren't.
No.
You know, it's not like, you know, and I do think that women have an inherent moral compass that often men don't have or we've obliterated one way or another. And you're absolutely right. So when you have a woman in this type of a role, it is A, surprising, and B, I think it sadly does the cause a real amount of damage.
But then when you do it so well.
Talk about reframing something. Wow.
Well, I like that if it wasn't at my own expense.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, the chart is filled with women. I mean, here we go. Public protector. We're not letting it up, eh?
No.
Woman's got to go. And the civil activism is just huge on the public protector. We should see more next week about whether she stays or goes. Her next sentiment... it's just horrific. I mean, she's sitting with -65%. We're really not happy with the public protector, and we will not let this one go.
Yeah.
So there's that one. Then we spoke about Dudumieni, so that's number two on the charts. And Zinzi, that's four. Then Banyana. Aww. We made it to the World Cup,
but we had
a terrible game.
I know, but we did so well. You know what? I think this is a good news story.
You know what? Someone was actually even saying some of these women actually have full-time jobs because due to lack of sponsorship, they need to feed their families. So for them to even be able to qualify
Absolutely.
For that was brilliant.
Well, guys, I do need to unfortunately put it on hold for just a few moments. We're going to go to traffic, we're going to go to news headlines, sport, and then we're going to come back to Tanya Curry. Tanya, the one thing I wanted to ask you, maybe you can look it up whilst we are on break. John Cusack there was a big story about an anti-Semitic tweet that he tweeted out, and I wanted to see how big that was, if at all, on the international charts, or if that just was a tweet that was something that was popular, let's say, within Jewish media and press. I would like to hear, get a sense from you how big or real that story. So, Tanya, anything else going on locally before we move on to international?
Yeah, look, the one thing I really want to talk about is Bumzila. Yes. Can you hear me?
Can, loud and clear.
Well, so what happened? So somebody was filming her.
Well,
she lost the plot. Then they called her a black person.
And
then she clapped someone.
Yes. Yeah. So, I have to tell you, I don't have a grip on the story at all because
me too.
You know, so I'll tell you something interesting is, and we've had this conversation, in studio with Lindy and Zanati. Luba Maikisa has often spoken about things like this. And he says the most difficult form of racism to deal with is subtle forms of racism that you can't really put your finger on. And I just wonder if something happened here that was happening at a level that everybody knew was racist, but couldn't quite.
There's no particular word that was used, or no particular thing that was said.
Because no one's saying it. So we're waiting for the footage, and I'm particularly excited to see it because I want to see from a body language point of view what was really going on there.
Yes.
And I can tell you without the words, I'll know what was happening. We've just got to analyze it frame by frame. But I want to
know your feedback.
So far we're not seeing that footage because then they're claiming you've got to go to the police so I don't really know this. I don't know what happened here.
And I really like Phumzile Vandana.
Me too.
He's one of the DA people I really like.
But you can't go around hitting people. You just can't.
You can't. That's not allowed.
No.
Yeah?
No, it doesn't.
So as I said, there's many women on our charts this week, which is quite strange. There's a few that didn't make it. I'm just going to rattle through them. Trillion has to pay back Eskom.
Yes, dun, dun, yes. That's at 600
I wonder
million.
If the money's there, though. So, I mean, that would be nice. And then Facebook, oh my word, has opened its own currency called Libra.
Yeah, we haven't spent much time talking about it just because I don't understand it. Yeah, and it makes me a little nervous, all of this type of thing.
Yeah, it makes me very, very nervous. And then Gumede is still not backing down. That's still this week. And then I had, oh, I love this story. Milkshakes everywhere. Oh, another gosh, milkshake attack.
I tell you, the world is a mad place.
But it would be better if we used milkshakes instead of hand grenades. Let's be
fair. That is true. That is true. Yeah, it's true that. I didn't thought. I mean, sugar is really not good for you.
I had a look at your John Cusack story.
Yeah.
Okay, firstly, it's huge. I'll give you an idea. 70,000 interactions over less than 4 days.
Wow.
53% negative. The biggest tweet, a tweet garnering 67,000 interactions came from a guy called Yair Rosenberg. I'm not sure who he is. Forgive me.
He says
John Cusack tweeted something blatantly anti-Semitic, thinking it was anti-Israel. The fact that in 2009 a celebrity can openly share anti-Jewish stuff like this and genuinely think it's politically okay tells you a lot about why Israel became necessary and remains so. And that was the biggest tweet of that section. But also, firstly, John Cusack then said it was a bot.
Yeah, what is that?
You know, when people do that, then I want to hit the roof. I really want to hit the roof. Bots don't write personal messages, guys.
Yeah.
That's not how computers work, you know. They're clever, but they're not that clever.
You see, what sunk him was he added the words, follow the money. And by saying follow the money, obviously he relied on this anti-Semitic trope of Jews and money, but he added that. So, and that isn't criticism of Israel. If you want to criticize Israel, you want to criticize something about Israel policies, you're actually fully entitled to do it, and that's a conversation. But when you add follow the money, that's not about Israel.
Very different.
That's all about, that's about anti-Semitism.
You know, and had he said that, I am pro-Palestinian.
Absolutely.
Or the Palestinians are being oppressed, or the Palestinians struggle.
Nothing wrong
struggle,
with his view on
then
that.
Then it would
Nothing.
Be a very different conversation. But
100%.
The way he's framed it is completely anti-Semitic. It's not even anti-Israel.
No.
It's anti-Jewish, you know.
Well, because what he did,
He's apologized, but he didn't quite apologize. I mean, and then he called it a bot. He's handled it very badly. Whoever his PR is, need shooting. Sorry.
but Tanya, aren't we seeing this a lot? You know, I get involved with helping some companies here. I'm going through a bit of, who might be going through a bit of a PR crisis. And I'll say to them, all right, so you clearly don't have a PR company. And they'll say, no, we do. They wrote this. Mm. And I'll say, but what? Like, are they stupid? Are PR people not recognizing the change in the world that we are living in? We want authentic. We want real. We want to know if we felt that Zinzi was apologetic and she said, you know what? I had a really bad day. It's unforgivable what I did. You know what? And instead of saying, exactly, an arrogance around, okay, Steve Hofmeyr is beyond help, so we can't even talk about him. But because I think inherently he is bad. Do you know what I mean? I think most people actually don't want to be so.
It doesn't matter if he had a PR firm or not, and I doubt anyone would touch him, to be honest with you. But you make an excellent point, Howard. You know, the world has changed. PR used to be in its own box, social media in its own box, advertising in its own box. And now the whole thing has changed. It's now one set of Mercury. And if you're not moving your message fluidly between all three sets of media types in a way that is real, all of it. So PR, we used to putting out our press releases and they must be in a certain format. No. Now we need to get our message to the fore and we have to be careful about what we say in PR, because within 2 minutes, that press release makes social media. 100%. And within 2 minutes, your social media tweet makes PR. So the messages have to be aligned. And when clients are in crisis, when they do stupid things on social media, the first thing they do is retaliate.
Yeah.
And it's the wrong thing to do. The first thing you need to do, guys, it's a big lesson. Take it offline. Say, what's your number? Let me call you. I want to come see you. And you won't believe that tiny little step makes a huge impact when you're in a crisis.
You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. Tanya Currie, there we have to leave it up, which I hate because I can talk to you for hours about this. Is 7:44. Just enjoy your weekend and have a fantastic time and recharge your soul and your spirit down in Sedona.